We're here at Two River Theater in Red Bank, one of my favorite places to spend an afternoon, and what a pleasure it is to be joined by the star and the only star of the Belle of Amherst here at Two River Theater. Playing the role of Emily Dickinson is the wonderful actress Maureen Silliman. Maureen, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Please stop reminding me I'm the only one in the show. It's a little daunting.
It is daunting. Let's talk about that right away. To be able to do a more than 2-hour show portraying one of the most famous women ever is really a super challenge, not only to learn your lines, but to learn her wonderful poetry.
Yeah, it was great to learn the poetry, and I only knew it on a very surface level. I wasn't, you know, a poetry student, but thank goodness Robert Recknitz was an English professor. He's directing the play at Monmouth University, and he was able to help me so much with the poetry. We worked on it about 9 months before we actually went into rehearsal, and it's wonderful. The poetry is wonderful, but it was also great to discover what an amazing human being she was, and how funny she was, and how insightful she was, and how she expressed in her poetry and also in this play what we all feel. I would hope that people would come to the play and say, yes, that's how I felt when such and such a thing happened to me. So that's been a great thing.
You touched upon it right away when I was watching clips of the 1976 Broadway version of The Belle of Amherst featuring Julie Harris. Of course, it was an award-winning show, was how funny it really was. There are so many lighthearted moments to mix in with this deep, powerful poetry.
Well, you know, smart people are funny. I often am jealous of people who are so bright, and I think, oh, gosh, I wish I thought of that. I wish I could be that quick. And she was. She was smart. And she was so observant because she didn't go out into the world much. She watched people, and she had a way of seeing life and observing it and writing about it that I think that we feel when we read her poems or when we read her letters that we're not aware that, oh, gosh, yes, that is the way that happens. That is the way that feels. So it's pretty special.
You can definitely tell we're here at Two River as the train comes right through this interview here on the WBGO Journal. You and Robert Recknitz go back to 1998 when you actually auditioned here.
I auditioned for a play called The Real Thing, a Tom Stoppard play, which I'm so happy I was able to do it. Such a wonderful play. He wasn't directing it, but he was at the audition. He was at rehearsals. And at the opening night party, we had our first, I would guess, substantive conversation. And I realized in the moment that he probably loved the theater more than anyone I had ever met, maybe even more than me. And that's going some. And so we formed a bond from that very time. He and his wife Joan, who founded this theater, and how this theater has grown since then. Because I started when we were in Manasquan, and then this wonderful building, and now we have this extension, and we do these beautiful plays and new plays. But Bob, to me, has always been, you know, just such a rock. He's one of my heroes.
One of the things we always talk about when we visit Two River Theater is the fact you've done so many shows on Broadway and off-Broadway. The talent level that comes to Two River Theater each and every play, and you're another example. Maureen Silliman has done so much. And I guess it's the relationships that are built within this tight community of acting and theater that allows these wonderful people like yourself to come here to a local theater and perform, and the audiences will adore you.
Well, I think the proximity to New York City is such a great thing for this theater. It's usually when you go out of town for a show, you can't get home if somebody's not feeling well or if somebody just needs a friend. Here, you can go in on your day off or even overnight if you need to. It's also, there is an atmosphere at this theater, I think now, maybe more than ever, with John Diaz and Michael Hurst running this theater and the staff that is here, that is it creates such a family. And I feel it, I think, more than ever, because this time, being the only actor in the show, I didn't come down with my little tribe that you usually, when actors go out of town for a show, we've got our people with us. And I thought, what is that going to be like? And somebody said, well, your crew and all the people who work, that they will be your people. And they are, in fact, they are amazing and generous and kind and funny. And I think that's, when I talk to people who work here and I ask them how they like it, they, to a person, always say, it was just great, I can't wait to go back, I hope they ask me to come again. Because they've created that atmosphere here. And also created a work quality on stage that I think we can be very proud of.
So as you prepared for this role, as you mentioned, you didn't have necessarily a big background on Emily Dickinson's poetry. 9 months of research and going over things, you kind of touched upon it, but what have you learned about Emily Dickinson that you weren't aware of?
I think I learned that she was a woman who fell in love. I think I learned that while she had this tremendous gift and she was able to put feelings and ideas into words, sometimes very short poems that covered so much. But beyond that, I think she learned, as we all do when we're getting older, of what is important. Because I think in the first act, you see so much of what's happening in her younger life and how important her writing is to her, and publication, would how important that would be to her. And then when you get to the second act, and things happen that break a heart, and then you realize what other things are important and what life means to a person. And I think I probably assumed that she was such an intellectual that she wouldn't be able to sit down and cry if her dog passed away. But we all do that, don't we? And it was a wonderful thing to discover about her, that she was able to meet those challenges and then also move forward, which is what we learn in life. I think when you think, I remember thinking when my mom was alive, I remember thinking, well, if ever she died, what would I do? Would the sun shine again? And when I lost her, I was doing a play, and life went on. And I felt that she was more in my heart than ever before, and watching me, so I have to be careful now. But we learn those things. We learn those things by going through life. And you can't deny them. You can't pretend that they don't happen. And I think Emily, not only did she not pretend they weren't happening, but she looked even deeper into them, and she tried to put those feelings into words so that everybody could look at them that way.
You even make note in the teaser online about one of her most famous, where she says, "I'm nobody, who are you?" And you deliver it so well. She didn't even experience fame because of her poetry was really published years later, and you get the sense she wasn't sure if she was any good at certain times. But you went through this. Tell us about it.
Well, I think she thought she was good, but I think she thought no one else would ever hear her. And boy, that's something we can relate to, isn't it? We all want to be heard in a relationship or in our jobs or anything like that. I think that was so frustrating for her, that in her lifetime, although she wrote... I think 1,700 poems, such a body of work, and I think only 7 were published in her lifetime, and then so many afterwards, and there are stories about people fighting over who had the rights to publish different poems, and she became one of the most well-known poets that we know. I was given a book while I was working on this play that was written by a Japanese man about the effect of Emily Dickinson's poetry in Japan. And I thought, look at that. And they probably think that she was writing about them, even though she was such an American poetess. So, yeah, I think that was a very sad thing. And yet, because of her life force, she never stopped.
Her dad was a congressman.
He was a congressman for a little while. He was a lawyer and a congressman, and he was, I think he was treasurer at the college in Amherst. He was a very prominent man, Squire Edward Dickinson, a man who, she says, almost never smiled. But and at one point when she's talking about him in the second act, she says, you know, he never really learned to play. And it she creates a even though I'm the only person on stage, I think you begin to see all these other people. I know that I feel very comfortable when I'm doing little scenes with invisible actors on stage, because I believe that they're there. They were in her life, and they're on stage with me.
So take us into how you make that happen, because it is such a key part of this show that you're interacting with people in her family, even though we don't see them on stage. As an actor, how do you do that?
You know, I think acting is pretending. I you know, it's a lot of skill, and people study and they go to these famous schools, but it is pretending. And I think that if you're a child and you play games where you pretend a lot, I think it lends itself to doing this kind of thing. The play is very much Emily talking to the audience, wanting to be heard, wanting them to know who she is. And interspersed with that talking to the audience, which is wonderful because I can see them pretty well, she creates these scenes. This is what happened with my brother, and this is what happened with the man I had a crush on, and this is what happened with my father. And so you see them, and it breaks up the story a little bit, so it's not just somebody talking to you. And they are funny and charming.
The Belle of Amherst is running through May 5th here at Two River Theater in Red Bank, starring Maureen Silliman, our guest here on the WBGO Journal. William Luce wrote the show, and it's being directed this time by Robert Rechnitz, your longtime friend and associate here at Two River Theater. What do you think about William Luce's play as far as how it's written?
I think it's beautiful. The longer I worked on it, the more I admired it. When I first read it, I thought, oh, this is kind of intellectual, kind of academic, but the way he puts things together and the way things in the second act will echo something that happened in the first act and the way he reveals who she is, it is quite skilled and very surprisingly human and emotional, I think. I think you see Emily's emotional life, not just her life as a poet, but her life as a young girl and then as a woman and as a member of her family. It's quite beautiful.
I get different answers to this question all the time. So, played by Julie Harris in 1976 on Broadway, some people say, well, I do my research, I watch what they do, and then others don't want to even have a glimpse of what somebody else has done in a role. How do you handle it?
I watched the DVD of Julie Harris because I'm a big Julie Harris fan. I would watch her in anything. And I didn't get to see the play because I was working at the time that it was playing in New York. And I just love her work. And I also saw a tape of an actress named Jolie Richardson, who is Vanessa Redgrave's daughter. She did a revival of the play, I think about 8 years ago. I'm not quite sure if I'm right about that. I went to Lincoln Center Library, which is a great resource center. It has plays and on tape that you can watch. And I saw her version. Now, they were totally different. And I saw both of them almost a year ago. And I didn't want to go back to, I didn't want to see it too close to when we rehearsed the play. But I knew from watching them, I thought, well, I'm going to be very different. And I imagined who else could do this play. I thought if Frances McDormand did this play, it would be very different from when Julie Harris did this play. Or, you know, I think there are people who can play her softer and people who can play her. Cynthia Nixon in the movie that she did recently was a very different Emily. And I think there are so many sides to Emily. I think that we can all bring something to her.
We're certainly looking forward to seeing Maureen Silliman as Emily Dickinson in The Belle of Amherst, running through May 5th here at Two River Theater. The fact that she built her knowledge from afar, and not necessarily, and doing a lot of her engaging through writing with people. She sent letters to a bunch of people all over the world. But she never really experienced outside. So words were so powerful for her. She talks about how, you know, words were basically everything for her. Can you relate to that at all?
Well, I think words and language are important. I mean, I'm in a business that where words are very important. Whenever we get a little bogged down in a rehearsal, someone will say, "Let's go back to the text. Let's go back to the text." I'm a big reader, and I think storytelling is important. And Emily didn't write books. She wrote poems, and she says in the play, a poet can choose but a few words, and they must be the chiefest words, the best words. And she celebrated it. She said, a word is dead when it is said, some say. I say, it just begins to live that day. She found joy in that. She said, I find ecstasy in living. She wasn't the kind of person that you would picture would be a recluse sitting alone in a dark room. She loved everything about nature and life, and she talked about people, and she observed how they behaved and life and the sun and the birds. She celebrated life, I think.
I had spoken the last time I was here at Two River Theater about I had just seen the movie Mary Shelley, and how when she wrote Frankenstein at such a young age, are great poets, great writers, are they born that way? I mean, this young woman seems like she was born to be a poet, and that, yes, you learn from experiences, but there was something in her from the very beginning, don't you think?
I do think so. I think she came from a family where words were important, where people were educated. But yes, I do have the feeling that we are born with something. My older sister was an actress. She doesn't act anymore, but she's my older sister, so I did everything she did, so I became an actress too. But I had the feeling when we were growing up that she knew from a very young age. I think she was 9 or 10 when she asked my mother to get her an agent, and my mother didn't even know what an agent was or what they did. But and she studied, and she did a number of Broadway shows, and she was brilliant. She was just such a wonderful actress, and I think I always had her as a guide. But I think she knew, and I think we are born with a lot of those very strong instincts. I think some of us, we put them aside because we think we have to be more practical. And when you're thinking about being an actress or a poet, you probably meet with a lot of people who say, well, what do you really want to do? How are you going to support a family? And when will you have time to raise your children? But some people don't, they can't say no to that feeling in themselves. Emily says, sometimes when she sees something, she feels she must translate her feelings into poetry. That's the way she lives her life. And I think that it would be good for us to remember not to turn off too many of those lights that are on inside us.
So you talked about how following your sister was an inspiration for you. When did you know that Maureen Silliman could do this well? What age were you? Do you remember a show? Do you remember a time period that not only your sister could do this, but you could do it too?
When I was in high school, my senior year, we had a new drama teacher, and he cast me in the two plays that we did, The Man Who Came to Dinner and Brigadoon. I'll never forget. Barry Kaplan, he was a lovely, lovely man. And he said to me at one point, toward the end of my senior year, he said, I think you could do this. And at that point, I had been accepted by a number of colleges, and I switched. I went to one that had a better drama department than the one that I was going to go to. And while I was there, this was at the State University at Geneseo in New York, a woman named Vivica Lynfors, a very well-known actress at that time, came to speak. She just sat down and talked to us one night, and she was talking about being an actor, and she read the Nina speech from The Seagull, which is quite an inspiring speech for a young actress. And she was just inspiring. And at the end of her speech, she said, there must have been 50, 60 people watching, and she said, now, which of you will make this your life? And I raised my hand, and I looked around, and I was the only one who had raised, and I thought, am I crazy, or am I maybe a little brave? But I think at that point, I thought, I'm going to dare to do this.
That's a wonderful story, because that's what it takes. It takes that, I mean, to separate yourself. You had already separated yourself from everybody that was in that room, your desire to succeed. And you know, we talk about it a lot with, you know, when I teach class, and I just mentioned it just yesterday, Brookdale Community College, not far from here, talking to students about it. You have to have the passion for what you're doing, and obviously it worked for you. So is there a moment that you could narrow down that Maureen Silliman says, was it one particular Broadway show, off-Broadway, maybe local theater, that is your finest moment or the most satisfying moment for you?
People ask me that question all the time, and I always think if I answer, I'm going to change my mind 5 minutes from now because I've had such great experiences. I think doing the real thing down here and starting my relationship with the Two River Theater was a very special experience for me because of my history now with this theater, but also because that play was so rich. It's about love, and it's about words, and it's about forgiveness. And I think when you do a play, very often, I think, you're meant to do that play because you're meant to learn what the character learned in that play, or what the audience might learn in that play. And I felt with that play, it was a moving forward for me. Came at a time of my life when a lot of changes were happening in my life, and I felt kind of like I could define myself. I had been going back to school. I was 40, I think. And I had been going back to school to take some courses in nutrition and health because I thought, well, maybe I will stop doing this and do that. And while I was doing that, I went through a divorce, which is, you know, it's very sad and very, you know, it's a very strange time of life for people who go through it. And I remember at that time, I felt embraced by the theater community. I felt like I wasn't sure how to navigate through my life, but I was offered a job here and a job there, and somebody here said, oh, you're good, and somebody here laughed at a line that I said. And I felt embraced by the theater community, and it was a wonderful experience. And I've been very fortunate. I've never had to work as a waitress or anything like that. But it is a wonderful world to live in. And so it's hard for me to choose one thing. But it has been a great life.
So I'm going to ask you something that may be even more difficult. Through the power of radio, Emily Dickinson joins us here in this room. What do you want to ask her? What do you want to tell her?
I think I would want to ask her to tell me more about loving someone as she did in a bodiless way, like fleshless lovers, because for her it was a true experience of love. And I think that is not sad or pathetic. I think it is extraordinary how she had a 20-year relationship with this man. And I think I would like to talk to her about her parents, because she talks about them in the play, and I think that I understand a little bit about how she came to love and miss her parents so much. And I think that would be something I would love to talk to her about.
Wonderful. Lover of history, am I. So when I get an opportunity to learn about special people like Emily Dickinson, try to take advantage of that. young people today might not know much about Emily Dickinson except for just what they see on the paper. Isn't it important for especially young women, I would think, but young men too, to come and see who this lady really was, because she has had a dramatic impact on literature and poetry?
I think so. I think it's always good to look at historical figures for women, especially because we forget. We forget. We've come a long way. Somebody just remarked recently that the people who benefited by the Constitution were basically white men who owned property. We've come a long way since then, and we've worked really hard at it. And I think that sometimes I talk to young women, and I think they don't realize how hard other generations had to fight in order to not just fight, but accomplish things, to show that we could accomplish what men could accomplish, as different as it was historically, and as different as Emily's life was. Because we have to remember, one of the books I read said, when women knew they were going to bear children, childbirth was to women as going to war was for men. Some of them would come back, and some of them would not. Well, we don't think about that now. That doesn't happen a lot now. We have great hospitals and facilities, but I think that's important to remember. But also, I think we have to be reminded that we're not that different in our hearts and in what we dream about. I think sometimes we think of historical creatures as being on a shelf somewhere, and it's always nice when we are reminded that they laugh and live and love and cry, as we do.
Maureen Silliman is playing Emily Elizabeth Dickinson in the show, The Belle of Amherst, and it runs through May 5th. So as people are leaving this wonderful theater, what would be the best compliment that you would overhear somebody telling their friend in the audience? Oh, this was
a surprise. This was funnier than I thought it would be. I hope they say that they're glad they came. I hope they say, oh, I think she remembered all her lines. I want people to walk out of the theater talking about the play and not just saying, well, where will we go to eat? What would you like to drink? I like it to spur conversation that goes on a little bit longer than the play. And I always like to think that theater can change minds and it can change lives. And we don't always know that when we see a play, but ideas stay with us. Ideas are so powerful.
So has The Belle of Amherst changed Maureen Silliman?
Yes, it has, I think. It's been very, very challenging. It's been probably the most difficult thing I've ever encountered, and it has frightened me. And it's interesting because in the play, Emily uses the words frightened, terrified, scared, often, and yet I think she is so brave. And I think that after many attempts to get out of doing this play, I realized, no, you have to be brave. You have to be brave and do this. And hopefully it will make you a better actress and maybe a better person, because theater changes minds and changes lives, and everything we do adds to our brains and to our hearts.
We can tell the passion that you have not only for this business, but for Emily Dickinson. And we can't wait to see you as Emily Elizabeth Dickinson in The Belle of Amherst, running through May 5th here at Two River Theater. What a thrill for me to sit down and get a chance to know you a little bit better. And I look forward to this show, and I know it's going to be a big success. But it's so refreshing to hear somebody of your stature talk about actually having some anxiety when you do a show, because you care.
Oh, I care very deeply. Partly because I care about the craft and I care about the audience. And I think it was more serious for me here because I care so much about this theater. And I didn't want to let the theater down. I don't want to let Bob Recknitz down. I don't want to let John and Michael, who run this theater, down. there was a little extra pressure. And also, because we're so close to New York, for the last year, I've had people saying to me, oh, I'm coming down. And I thought, no, no, don't tell me, don't tell me. So there was a lot of pressure, but it does mean a lot to me.
There are no guarantees in this world, but I can throw one guarantee. You will love Maureen Silliman in this show. Continued success.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me talk to you.